from InGold Magazine, Kevin Woodley. And Woodley, before I get to our the line of questioning, I have a really interesting question I'm very interested in, and this is coming from a listener. Hey, guys, can you ask Kevin about the importance of communication between D and goalies? Goalies that handle puck well can be like third D men. How much should we be working or developing in this with teams?
I think it varies from team to team, right? Like you usually have different communication systems in terms of what the calls are, where defensemen go. And I can tell you this is going to be important for the Oilers this year with Mike Smith there, right? Like if you're a goaltender that handles the puck, the last thing you want to see is your D coming straight back to you, right? So you need to be on the same page in terms of where they go, depending on the forecheck, depending on the situation, have different reads, different calls. Because if you can move it, you're better to have them find open space that, rather than, like I said, come right back at you, because all they do is, when they come right back to you, is sort of add to the confusion and limit your time and space and options even more. So Mike, it's not just that he's a really good, like, passer of the puck and puck mover in terms of the ability to, fire it up ice or make quick little chips, get it past the guy. He's also really good at looking guys off, which comes with patience and confidence, turning his back, spinning away from guys, protecting the puck, and then moving it the other way. Like, there's a lot of things he can do with the puck that you're going to have to make sure everybody gets on the same page with. So, I mean, communication seems like a no-brainer to me, to be honest with you, that it's important. Developing a communication system where everybody's on the same page, and then maybe a bit of the challenge for the Oilers, and I know this was a bit of an issue in Calgary when they went from one goalie to the other, is going to be, depending on who's in net, where I go when my goalie goes out to get the puck is going to change. If Smitty stops it, find a spot for him. And like I said, preset spots depending on what the forecheck read is. If it's Mika Koskinen, that's more likely to be just a leave. Stop it and leave it for the D-man. So communication will be essential, and being on the same page with not just one but two goalies in terms of what the reads are, what the calls are, and then also expectations in terms of what that guy's tendencies is going to be with his calls. So many times we see pucks turned over on goalie handles and goalie plays where the goalie gets blamed. Mike Smith, certainly there's times where he makes mistakes and he'll own it, he'll admit it. He learned very early from Marty Turco not to be deterred by it, just keep trying to make plays. It's like a defenseman, right? It's a good offensive defenseman. Turn the puck over more because they have the puck more. They're trying to make plays with the puck. It's a little higher risk. With Smith, you're going to see some of that, but I think a lot of the turnovers we see where they get blamed on the goalie handling the puck, it's actually a breakdown of communication with the defenseman in terms of where they're supposed to be and maybe not being in that exact spot or providing the outlet that the goalie needs. Like you as a defenseman, Strutty, right? Like, if your forwards aren't going to where they're supposed to be on a breakout and giving you an outlet, that makes your job that much tougher. It's the same thing with a goaltender going back to get a touch. Communication and being where you're supposed to be, depending, again, on the read and the call, is so important.
We're going around the NHL for Cougar Paint and Collision. They're there when you need them. Call or stop in. No appointment required. They'll see you right away. You can trust Cougar Paint and Collision. Their family serving your family, 88th Street and Yellowhead Trail. Let's take a look at the Metropolitan Division and some of the teams in that group. Let's start with the Islanders. Last year is a pretty good story with Robert Leonard. He moves out. They bring in Varlamov, summoning Varlamov instead. Where's the goaltending level going to be this year for this group?
You know, I know that a lot of people, and we've talked about this before with Jason, about, you know, me maybe being a little less surprised than others about the decision to move on from Lehner. It did seem like such a good fit. I think on a lot of levels you could have argued it would have made sense to just stick with Robin and sort of stick with what worked, for lack of a better term. But if they can keep him healthy, you know, and they continue to play the way they did last year defensively, I think Semyon Varlamov is, like, he's a real high-end guy. He has high-end potential. I was surprised by the inconsistency in his game last year in Colorado. But he has that sort of high ceiling when he's healthy. I think he should have won the Vezina. With all due respect to Tuukka Rask, if he really broke down the numbers in 2013-14, the end of that year, it should have been Varlamov. So you sort of blend his high-end skill with the structure I know they will add from a goaltending standpoint. They'll be a little more, like, you're going to rein him in a little bit technically, maybe not so much tighten up some of the movements, but just make them a little more efficient. There's, like, he's got an incredible amount of power, but he opens and closes a lot, and a lot unnecessarily in even simple lateral pushes, and that's part of what puts all that extra strain on his body. So expect him to quiet that down. If he can adapt to the types of reads they provide in New York with Barry Trotz, and they're simpler, so it should be an easy adaptation in terms of managing screens, managing traffic, much like a defenseman handling the puck, starting getting on the same page as where your defensemen are going to be, what side of a screen's your responsibility, what side they're going to take away. Like, they act, like every team has those preferences and systems. Barry Trotz just gets his guys to execute at a really, really high level. The other thing is, it's going to be end zone play. You don't have to worry about odd man rushes like you do with other teams, because they simply don't take chances and give them up. So I could see Varlamov, just like we saw Greiss with a great season last year, I could see Semyon Varlamov, you know, in that Vezina discussion at the end of the season. Like, he has that upside, and this is a system and a coach that always has been good for goaltenders. And for all the lamenting about Lehner not getting another shot to stay there, and I would have liked to seen it too, I think they're going to be just fine in goal. Greiss is perfectly situated as a 1B who can play for a couple weeks on end if you need him, sort of number one upside, but has never had to carry the load. Like, he's, you know, he's what teams want in a backup. And then, you know, there's not much in the minors right now, but there's lots coming in Shesterkin coming over from Russia, hopefully in the next couple of years, and he's sort of their goaltender of the future. And I do think that his relationship with Varlamov and a mutual agent probably had something to do with that, a guy they see as being able to help that transition when he's ready.
Kevin Woolley from Ingold Magazine. We're going around the Metropolitan Division. Let's take a look at the situation in Carolina. And they thought they had it solved a couple of years ago when they brought in the goaltender from Chicago. And now they got Reimer and Mrazek. How do you feel about this duo, something that's needed as far as stability in that organization?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. They've kind of gone the opposite way of, say, Tampa Bay locking up Vasilevsky to the huge $9.5 million contract, Florida going with Bobrovsky, you know, the big ticket in free agency. Carolina's, you know, gone the other way. And there are some goalie coaches that think you can do this, as much as it might cost them their union card. Build a good D, build a good team in front of them, and I can build you a goaltender that'll stop the puck. And so a bit of a revival for Mrazek last year, but there's still inconsistency in his game that was there in Detroit. Even when he was having early success, you could see some of the things that sort of suggested it might not last. He's reined it in a little bit. It'll be up to him to continue that this year. And a chance to bounce back for James Reimer, who, hey, listen, I'm biased with Rhymes. I was on the ice with him just yesterday up in Kelowna. He's one of the nicer people. I joked with him. We had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and I joked with him that, you know, I think you're far too nice a guy to be on any team that even calls itself a bunch of jerks, even with tongue fully in cheek. You know, it was a tough year in Florida last year, and I think when you look at the goaltending in Florida, I think it was really easy for people to say, oh, the only thing missing was goaltending. And yes, Roberto Luongo struggled with his health, in part because they rode him into the ground. But Reimer ended up with they were all sort of sub-900. I think he ended up right around 900. He actually ended up with the best numbers of anyone there. And I don't say that as James Reimer was better than all of them. I say that more to, listen, when every goalie struggles, it's just like the Islanders. When both goalies post numbers close to 930, clearly the play in front of them has something to do with it. In Florida, when every goalie is sub-900 or barely at 900, especially when you got a guy like Luongo, who is career sort of 919, 920, like one of the greatest all-time career save percentages, consistency is what he's all about, and they're all sub-900, it's not that there's something in the water. It's that there's something on the back end in how they defend, and they were just way too loose last year. So I think James Reimer will benefit from the way Carolina approaches this, building a good team in front of them. The question marks I have in Carolina, frankly, have more to do with the personnel. And they're also perfectly situated in the number three hole with Alex Nedeljkovic, probably ready to be an NHL goalie, but doesn't need waivers yet. You've got the option in case of injury to bring him up. You can send him back and forth with impunity. He just coming up with Calder Cup, AHL Goalie of the Year. A lot of promise there. They were, Forsberg's their number four hole. Anton Forsberg just today, they were trying to get him on a two-way in arbitration. The arbitrator gave him a one-way, so he'll have to clear waivers. But even if they lose him on waivers, or even if, frankly, the way they allocate money, even if they decide, you know, not to accept, I don't know if they can walk from this arbitrator award at that low a ticket, but I don't think they need to worry about losing Forsberg either way, even on waivers, because they have Nedeljkovic down there. They're perfectly set up for that. But I'm more interested in the personnel. We saw Mike Bellucci leave, and everyone's like, oh, he'll only leave Carolina for another NHL job. No, he left for another AHL job. Mike Bales won two Stanley Cups as a goaltending coach in Pittsburgh, was a big part of them getting through last season with Curtis McElhinney, and big part of the changes I talked about in Mrazek's game. They lose him to the Buffalo Sabres, again over contract. So Don Waddell, the story this week about the general manager, he's a free agent interviewing in Minnesota. Mike Russo had that story. It's pretty clear to me that from a personnel and coaching standpoint, the ownership there has always, and I think he said this publicly, and they believe, and in his other businesses, that they can always find better people to do the job for less. And I'm not sure how long you can get away with that at the NHL level. They've got an excellent young goalie coach in Paul Schoenfelder, who I happen to think, and I've worked with him at Hockey Canada before, I think he would be perfect for James Reimer. But I'm not even sure they're going to be able to get him or promote him just based on how they pay the role and whether that's going to be worthwhile him moving up from the AHL in terms of his family and his family situation and going to a full-time job. That seems to be a question mark that's out there. So I don't have huge questions about the goaltending. I have a few questions, though, about the way they're handling the goalie coaching position and, frankly, all their coaching positions and all those sort of those staff type of decisions. Yes, they bucked up immediately for Sebastian Aho, but it's been anything but when it comes to the personnel responsible for coaching this team, and even evidently looks like on the management side too. And yeah, I think you can only bleed talent on the coaching side for so long before it comes home to roost, and that would be my fear for the Carolina Hurricanes, not the guys that are going to be between the pipes.
Woodley, we just got another minute here. Can you get into the Pittsburgh Penguins? They got Murray and DeSmith, but there may be a candidate that's could be a really dangerous player to lose to waivers.
Yeah, no, sorry I rambled there on that one, Jace. Kind of same situation with Forsberg, except in Pittsburgh you actually do have to worry about losing a guy on waivers. Tristan Jarry has to clear this year. Casey DeSmith got the majority of the backup minutes last year and is expected to again this season. Jarry's a guy that, you know, frankly, if the Oilers weren't set in terms of their 1-2, if somebody were to get hurt, I know they like Tristan Jarry. He played for goalie coach Dustin Schwartz with the Edmonton Oil Kings, and a lot of people think he's NHL ready as well. Unlike Nedeljkovic, though, he now has to clear waivers. Pittsburgh tried to move him in the summer, didn't find any takers, probably because all those teams know they can just pluck him off waivers. So he's a guy that if another team runs into injury trouble, I could definitely see getting claimed. If I'm the Penguins and I want to get him through, I'm sending him down early before that happens.
Kevin Woodley, you're the best. I know you're on vacation. Enjoy that part of the country. Vancouver Island is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, talking to you, I ducked into the car so you couldn't hear the goats on the roof, but coming to you live from Coombs Market, the pride of the goats on the roof, and on my way to Tofino for a little surf. Jason, a little Willie Mitchell, Tofino Marina and Resort. Looking forward to seeing what him and Dan Hamhuis have upgraded over there in one of the, this is one of the most beautiful spots on earth, so it's going to be a blast.
Can't wait to hear about it next week, buddy. Travel safe. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay, thanks for your time, sir.